The Stories I Wish You Heard is a member of Bunk Collective, podcasts that came to play. Check out this other podcast, one of many great titles, only from Bunk.
Hirap na po kaming mag-anak. Tambak po ang labahin, wala pong lutong ulam, ang dumi-dumi po ng bahay. Ang mga anak po namin, tatlong araw na pong walang ligo. Hindi ko po siya makausap na ng maayos. Wala po siyang ginawa kundi makinig ng podcast. Yun po bang The Balut Kiki Project? Kung saan po siya nakikinig, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Podchaser. Mayat-maya po, bigla na lang pong tatawa, bigla na lang pong iiyak habang nakikinig. Ano po bang meron sa podcast na yan? Ano po bang meron sa The Balut Kiki Project podcast na yan?
The Balut Kiki Project. Batteries not included.
Hey, welcome to the Stories I Wish You Heard. I've been expecting you. Come on in, have a seat. Looks like you've had a long day. I promise, you're safe now. You can just relax and be yourself. Do you mind if I put on some music? It always helps me relax. This is the Behind the Story episode for The Man Who Stayed, so if you'd like to hear more about it, come kick your feet up and stay a while. This is a safe space for storytellers like you who have come to unpack or maybe share some of the stories you wish were heard. If you haven't listened to The Man Who Stayed yet, you can hit pause first and come back after. I promise, I'll be here waiting. We'll start with how the story came about, then we'll listen to other storytellers weighing in, and finally, we'll open our inbox and see what our friends had to say. Oh, have you clicked follow yet? It goes a long way, and you can get notified whenever a new story is up. If you're feeling up to it, maybe you can rate the show on Spotify or leave a review on the Apple Podcasts app. I love it when you tell me how I'm doing. God, this feels weird. I feel like I'm stepping into shoes that I haven't worn in a while. I know it's been months, but I hope you know I haven't forgotten about you. Listeners at home, the US, UAE, Kenya, Qatar, Malaysia, Singapore. I'm sorry it took so long. It means a lot to me, especially those who reached out to ask me where this podcast has been. I've just had a pretty rough couple of months, but the important thing is, I'm here now. I haven't left. I'm not going anywhere. I originally wanted to come back on 9/9 for the show's third anniversary, but life just kept getting in the way, and it didn't seem right to put something out just for the sake of putting something out. So this may be a few weeks late, but happy birthday to the stories I wish you heard. I hope you never get tired of listening to my little stories. It means a lot that you're here. So, let me tell you about this story. Reading it now that almost 4 months have passed, I can't help but feel so distant from it, almost at a cringe level. I think it's pretty obvious that I was in a pretty bad place when I wrote it. I was battling demons, both real and imagined, and I just couldn't shake off the negativity. I have friends, I think, and I pride myself in being a safe space for them to tell me when something's wrong, but when it was my turn, when it was I who had these dark thoughts, I just couldn't pick up the phone and ask for help. I looked inward, and I imagined what it would be like to have a stranger come to me, tell me exactly what I needed to hear, and give me exactly what I needed to have. Beyond sex, it was intimacy, what Kundera describes as the desired for shared sleep. And in its own little way, writing this story, recording it, and sharing it with you gave me reprieve from the demons. In the blog, I like publishing secret paragraphs at the end of some stories. So this one had this paragraph. We grew up with fairy tales, colorful stories of damsels in distress, fair maidens locked in towers or attics full of ash. Why did we find them so plausible then, but so impossible to believe now? The mythical creature isn't the mermaid who turns into a woman, or the girl banished to sleep after eating a poisoned apple. No, the real fairy tale is the man who stayed. It was the thesis of this entire story, and that's actually where the title is from. Maybe I'm jaded, but I think the most ridiculous part of this story is that the man who stayed doesn't really exist. And if writing this has taught me anything, sometimes we have to be our own savior. In the last paragraph, the stranger says, I know it doesn't feel like it, but one day you'll look back to find you're no longer in the dark. And most days lately have been sunny, so I guess in a way, I really did crawl my way out of that hole. I hope you did too. So that's the story behind last week's episode, The Man Who Stayed. Let's take a quick break, then we'll listen to this week's storytellers who will tell us about their most intimate non-sexual experiences. I'll be right back with the stories I wish you heard.
Hey everyone, my name is Greg.
I'm McCoy.
And I'm Dee. We're from
GamChat.
We're three Filipino-American gay guys discussing topics about culture, LGBTQ identity, politics, even love.
Or the lack thereof.
Here we go again.
Okay. We also cover family dramas and everything your tita baby and uncle boy don't want to talk about.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Gregory, kumain ka na.
Auntie, I'm recording something for City Boys Podcast. Is the pun sit ready?
Welcome back to the stories I wish you heard. That was an ad from our friends at GamChat. I'll leave their link in the episode notes if you'd like to check them out. And speaking of friends, we're amongst friends here, right? Just curious, what is the most intimate, non-sexual thing you've ever done? Tonight we have a few storytellers who had something to say. First up is our resident storyteller McCoy. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Hey silly boy, this is McCoy. I'm glad you're back. So now to answer your question, what's the most intimate, non-sexual thing I've ever done? I'd have to say it was when I shared on a podcast that I was sexually molested at the age of, I believe I was 6 or 7. It was intimate, because I've never shared that with anyone. Not my family, not my friends, no one. In fact, my mind actually, I think I was protecting myself, because I didn't even remember that incident initially. And then I was around 15 or 16, when all of a sudden it popped in my head, that thing happened, like snippets of memories. And I had to sit there for weeks trying to remember every single detail because I was, questioning myself if that was something that really did happen or for some reason I was making it up. But no, I sat there for weeks trying to remember everything that happened from beginning to end and all the little details that were in between. And I was able to confirm that yes, it did happen. And I shared it on a podcast, not because that was the topic, but because it was, when the discussion kind of veered into, protecting kids or making sure they're aware, that these things could happen and what to do after. It kind of triggered me to speak up and say something because no one has ever, when I was a kid, no one has ever talked to me about what to do if that happens, how to respond, who to tell. I never told anyone. And to add to that, I come from a family that don't really discuss things to begin with. So yeah, so that's the most intimate non-sexual thing I've ever done. So yeah, that's it. I'm glad you're back. Thank you.
Thank you, McCoy. I'm so glad to be back too. And as always, you've given us a lot to unpack, so let's get into it. When you first hear the word intimate, you automatically think of sex, but there are other ways to be intimate. McCoy was describing how a traumatic memory reemerging would have normally been a source of shame. And yet when he was a guest at a podcast, he found the courage to tell his story. So thank you, McCoy, for sharing your thoughts with us. Sometimes having a private moment in a public venue can be pretty liberating, and it's a testament to that show's hosts that you felt safe enough to bare your soul and hopefully shine a light on somebody who may be in a similar situation. Okay, up next, let's check out a few more responses. The first one is from Jay, who left a response on Spotify. In case you didn't know, there are questions that you can unlock when you listen to this episode on Spotify, So you can leave an answer there or answer some poll questions. You're welcome to do that. Anyway, Jay left a response and he says that the most intimate non-sexual thing he's done is talking with his partner. We have a few more responses from Reddit, and I chose a few that I thought were interesting. MX Love says, I used to get offended that my fiancé would be talking to me, cuddling, and just randomly fall asleep on me, until I realized that he's just so completely relaxed in my arms at the end of a long day that he can finally fall asleep peacefully. And that makes me feel so close to him now. Maybe she thought she was so boring that he fell asleep, but it's nice to be someone's home at the end of a long day. Finley says, I scratch his back and head. He was telling me how his mom would scratch his back, and it is a very intimate thing for him. His grandma would scratch his head until he fell asleep. Ever since he told me that, I've been trying my best to stay awake long enough that he falls asleep from my head scratches too, as he has trouble falling asleep. Last night, I finally held out long enough. I could hear his breathing change and his body relax and felt him fall asleep under my hand, and I don't know why, but I was the happiest in the world because I could do something for him like that. Someone I really care about. He told me I was amazing and I just melted. I hope to do it more often. This is so sweet. I love the idea of how she tried her best to stay up just so she could scratch his head until he fell asleep. Unfortunately, she updated her comment 2 years later to say that the man she was writing about had already passed away. So she adds, tell your loved ones you love them and check in on them. Perhaps she knows that you never know how much time you have left with them. So those were some other responses to this week's question. We still have a little bit of time. You want to come check out what's in our inbox? Okay. This week we're hearing from our friend Jansen. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Hey, I came across your post about your inbox being open for stories, and I just wanted to stop by and my stories. It's being recorded at home, like an impromptu, and using a cheap microphone. So, yeah, but I guess I would like to give it a try then. If introduction matters, my name is Jansen. To be honest, I'm not really into podcasts, and I don't have any idea how podcasts are being created until one of my friends shared a link to one of your episodes, which is All That We Were Losing, and it really caught my interest to the point that I wanted to become a podcaster as well. Well, this is my story, and I've been keeping it all for like about a year now. I can say that my heart is filled with anger. Anger it is. For all the heartbreaks that I experienced with my ex. I mean, it's not just a typical heartbreak that we just fell out of love with each other, realized that we won't work. No, it's not. So, we started talking around March of last year. And if you're gonna ask me on until when and where and up to what circumstances would I hold on to love, I think I'd have two versions of my answer. One is the way I am when we started talking, when everything is filled with butterflies and emotions. And the other one is, or the other version rather, is how I am right now. We met each other through an online game, Mobile Legends, and we started chatting after the game, and I think things get better afterwards. We started meeting each other personally, and I think we clicked. Every time we meet each other, I can feel the love, even hold my hand in public, in which I've never experienced before. He hugs and kisses me whenever we meet each other. And I think that's everything. Like all the longing for that long distance relationship just vanish when each time that we meet personally. He's actually diagnosed with STD, race unknown, and I don't even bother to know until he's ready to share. So I'm helping him, not just through emotional support, but also financial. But it really doesn't matter. As long as I love someone, I'm willing to help as long as I can. But after a couple of months, things started changing. I sent him 5 to 7 chats. He replies after an hour or two with a one-liner chat. Whenever I requested for a video chat, in which we're doing before, he has many reasons. Until I found out that he is committed. He has a 10-year live-in partner. All the money, emotion, time, and effort has gone to waste. Well, there's no formal breakup, that's why it still haunts me. But I believe that I don't need closure. You don't always need forgiveness for you to move on, but I just cower away from them like the big idiotic fool that I feel I am to get away with the situation. I feel like I was manipulated to support a couple without me knowing it. And then up until now, they're creating dummy accounts to, you know, bug me and emotionally torture me. That's why I can't heal on my own. And I think this is just a way to share it. So, until when, where, and under what circumstances I would hold on to love, I think I'll choose the answer from the person I am now. And that ends here. Until now, the thought of love scares me. And one thing I learned is that it was never practical to stay or to hold on to love until you're tired. I mean, you have to save yourself before it consumes all the kindness in you, before you're wrapped up in anger to the point that you can no longer find a way to heal yourself. I mean, I'm happy. If this won't be transformed into one of your episodes, but I'm happy that I get to share it with you because I have no one to share it with. Thank you for listening.
Okay, so that's where the recording cuts off, but Jansen actually added a few things in the chat. So this is what he said. Anyway, after things changed and I started to feel suspicious about the changes, I know there's 99.9% that my instincts are true, but that 0.01% is still a probability. So I held on to that. I'm still invested on the promises and memories that never mattered to him. I still stayed. A part of me stayed because I wanted supporting facts that everything's not just in my head. A part of me still hoped that love is still there and changed the situation. I stayed until I can't take any longer. I stayed just to prove that my instincts are true. I stayed just to find a reason to walk away. I literally just ranted. I grabbed this opportunity to let things out. I know holding grudges isn't a good thing, but I thank you for this opportunity. More power to the stories I wish you heard. So, that was a lot to unpack. We have a boy who meets boy in ML. They like each other. Jansen finds out that the boy is sick and starts to support him in multiple ways. Boy grows cold and Jansen finds out that not only is he in a relationship, but they've actually been together for 10 years. I wish the story ended there, but no, there really are bad people in this world. The couple has been harassing Jansen for some time now. They make dummy accounts to bug him, and so it's understandable that Jansen is a little jaded when it comes to love. To find the opportunity to open up to somebody, to have all of that be some scam, it can't be easy. Jensen said that all has gone to waste, but I hope he sees otherwise. Yes, it was a shitty relationship, but knowing you did all you could for someone you once only had positive feelings for, you can't ever say that that's a waste. If anything, you've proven that your capacity to love and forgive is bigger than their evil ways. He said you have to save yourself before love consumes all of your kindness. I disagree. It's true that love isn't practical, and it often demands much, but it never takes more than it gives. So you may have loved him, but maybe I'm being blunt. I don't think he loved you. And that's not your fault. That's on him. I hope you get back out there. Love just like when you first loved him, heart on your sleeve, unafraid to take a chance. You may have stumbled on that heart, but I have no doubt that if you let it, love, the right love, will come to you. So thank you, Jensen, for trusting me with your story, and I hope you find the courage to take the first steps out of that heart and into the world that wants for nothing but your happiness. And that's our inbox this week. Let's take one last break and then we'll call it a day. If you'd like to send your own entries, my details are at the end of the episode and in the show notes. I'll be right back with the stories I wish you heard.
Ang sinasabing halimaw ay isang taong ahas.
Ang nakagusto naman sa kanya, eh, tingin ko anak ng tikbalang.
That Jack the Ripper and Jose Rizal were probably one and the same.
Biglang nandun na sila, pumasok na, nagpupumilit ang pumasok sa bahay. Sabi raw, ibigay daw sa kanila si Cherry.
No, basta, the following morning, your dad told the helper na next time, don't play the radio too loud. The helper looks at his dad and says, Kuya, hindi ako yun, sira yung radio ko.
Ito ang Philippine Campfire Stories, a storytelling podcast about myths, legends, folklore, and true horror stories. Karaniwan sa mga kwento ay inihahayag ko sa Tagalog, but we also have some featured episodes in English. Isang episode kada Lunes at isa pa tuwing Huwebes ay makakasama mo ako kasama ang buong community ng mga campers na makinig sa iba't ibang kwento na naghahatid ng takot, pangamba, at pagtataka. Check out more than 100 episodes of Philippine Campfire Stories podcast in Spotify or wherever you listen your podcast now. See you there!
Looks like the rain has stopped, for now at least. It should be safe to head out soon, but maybe some final thoughts on this episode first? What surprised me in this story's journey is how often we find ourselves looking for validation in our partners, our bedmates, or our casual hookups. How can you rely on something so fickle when what's at stake is so important that it could spell the difference between giving up or getting up? When I wrote this story, I wanted it to be a love letter to myself. I was in a bad place, and I needed so badly to be seen, to be understood, to be held. I wanted to celebrate the parts that I hid during the day, the broken, the messy, the invalidated, and I couldn't find the man who stayed, so I made him up. I imagined what it would be like to be with somebody who just sees you broken and wants for nothing but to bring you back together. I wrote him because I couldn't find him, but I didn't know that he was just hiding in the mirror. Beyond the hookups and the casual encounters, there's a button inside our hearts that doesn't often get pressed. So if you're listening to this, and you're mourning the man who said he'd stay but didn't, know that there's a power within you. You don't need to look any further. So hold yourself tonight. Put on some good music, dance to your favorite song. The man who stayed is a fairy tale, but in reality, you don't need him. You can write your own love letter. That bill tells us that that's all the unpacking we have for this episode. Thanks for sharing your time with me. And thank you to our storytellers for sharing your recordings. It's been an honor to share the stories you wish were heard. Is there something wrong? I can tell there's a heaviness in your chest. If you'd like to take a load off, you can share your stories with me. Send me a message on X or Instagram at CityBoy, TikTok at StoriesPod, Facebook at facebook.com/thestoriesiwishyouheard, or on Telegram at t.me/tsiwyh. Oh, looks like your cab's here. Have you got everything you need? Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. Come back next week when you feature another story on The Stories I Wish You Heard.